Here in this passage, it tells us that Jesus returned from the country of the Gadarenes, and where he met a demon-possessed man. This man lived in the tombs. He was a man that was filled with demons, so much so that whenever he was asked his name, the demons spoke and said that they were legion because they were many. He was a man who was completely controlled by Satan, a man who had no control over himself. Indeed, he terrorized the community around him. Anybody would have feared to go anywhere near him. They tried to tie him in chains. They tried to restrict him, but he just broke the chains like nothing. But whenever Christ came on the scene, what a different scene we see. He ran towards him. It even says that he worshipped him. He fell at his feet. The devils know to bow the knee before the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they bowed there knowing that the one had come who was able to cast them into outer darkness. And they pleaded with him that they would not cast him out of the land, but that they would cast him into 2,000 pigs that were grazing there on the slope of that hill just beside the lake. And so Jesus bid them. And away they went. They went into those pigs, and we know that the pigs ran down that slope and were choked in the water. And whenever the people heard of this, they all come out, the whole city come out to see what was going on. And whenever they saw that man that has so terrorized the community, sitting, seated, clothed, and in his right mind, they were full of fear. They feared whenever there was no need to fear, because Christ was on the scene. But no, they classified the loss of pigs more than the loss of a human being. And they beseeched the Lord to leave them, to leave their coasts. And Beth, instead of being excited, instead of being really rejoicing at what the Lord had done, they were more worried about their economy than about the spiritual need of this soul. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He will not stay where he is not welcome. And he left. But you know, in his mercy, he left that man as a witness. He left him as a witness. It tells us there in the verse 18, and when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Friends, there's tremendous power in the testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And Christ had mercy upon this people. He could have left them. He had every right to leave them. But he left his testimony there. And that man, only had to walk down the street, and it was like a gospel message of the power of the Lord, because everybody knew him. Everybody would have pointed to him and said, that was the man who was in the tombs. That was the man that terrorizes for years. That was the man that couldn't be bound by chains. And yet look at him now. He's as normal as anybody else. They could not believe it. But it showed the power of the living God. It showed the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he left them, and he went over the lake to the other side. And there was a multitude waiting for him. But there was two people especially that were waiting for him there. Two people that were very, very different. One, Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue. He was a rich, well-known man, a very important man in the community. And the other, a poor, anonymous woman with no reputation at all. This demonstrates that Jesus shows his love to all, to rich and to poor, to big and to small, to young and to old. There's no limits to the love of Christ. He indeed is a loving God. Even though they wanted to see Jesus for something different, in a way their necessity was similar. They wanted the cure of sickness. Jairus wanted his daughter healed, and the woman wanted healing for herself. Jairus was about to lose his daughter, who had given 12 years of happiness. And this woman wanted to lose her ailment that had given her 12 years of suffering and misery. And although Jairus was the first to come to Jesus, it was the woman who was attended first. And so I want to major on her this evening. You know, sickness and death came into this world because of sin. 12 years she suffered her illness. Not only that, she wasted all her money on doctors or so-called doctors who did hundreds of tests and gave her all sorts of concoctions to try and heal her and give her a lot of false hopes that resulted in making her far worse. What misery and sin have brought into this world? What misery has sin brought into this world? But in second place, although sickness and death is from the curse of sin, not all sickness is a curse. Her sickness was very hard on her, but in one sense, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was a blessing because she had to look for a cure. And although she went round an awful lot of people looking for this cure, praise God, she at last came to the one who could give her the cure, to Christ himself. And not only the cure of her body, but the cure of her soul as well. You know, we praise God because we could say that something very similar happened to one of our folk over there in the land of Spain in our church. It's a man called Jose Antonio. And he had gone round many, many people for the cure of his disease. He has a very rare disease, a degenerative disease, gradually getting worse. But you know, he's over 80 years old, and he's one of the oldest people that have survived this disease. But he went along to a place near Valencia, and apparently there was a man there called, I think it was Lazarus, and he was preaching as if he was the Christ. He was an antichrist. He thought he was Christ. He was putting himself over as Christ. He had his disciples as well. And many claimed that this man could do miracles. And so when Jose Antonio heard that, he went along as well. And he said every weekend there was about 15,000 people around him trying to get some sort of cure for some sort of ailment. But he was there and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then he came back from Barcelona. He was a postman in Barcelona, and he came back to Jaén. And he looked up a cousin, that man Alfonso, that I told you this morning, that died at 103 years old just a few weeks ago. And he met up with Alfonso, and he invited him over to his house. And Alfonso said, would it be okay if I brought my pastor along? Pastor in Spanish is shepherd, and literal shepherd of sheep. And so he says, yes, certainly, no problem. And we went over. Of course, he looked at me and he wondered, what sort of pastor is this? But we were there. He gave us a lovely meal. And we invited him along to church. And he came along that Sunday. And every Sunday after that, he was faithful in coming along to hear the word of God. And he had a wee three-wheeler motorbike thing. And he had to drive over the mountain to our house, because at that time, the church was held in the basement of our house. It took him an hour and a half to get there. And he did that faithfully every week. And at the end of a year, praise God, he got saved. And the Lord saved him and transformed him. Didn't heal him from his sickness, but certainly healed his soul and gave him a joy. And he praised the Lord and even thanked the Lord for his illness. Because through that illness, he found Christ. He found the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far better. Only the sick will look for a doctor. Only the sick will look for a cure. The healthy folk will not look for a cure. Because sad to say, many who think they're healthy today, they're really sick. And they don't realize it. and they'll not look for a cure. But this crowd followed the Lord. But she was the only one who, in spite of the crowd, pushed her way through and touched Christ, touched his garment, and was cured. Many were there for curiosity to follow Jesus to see the miracles that he would do. But few there were like her who received one. What were the thoughts of that woman? We can imagine she was a shy woman, a timid woman, a woman who was completely bankrupt, woman poor. What were her thoughts? I'm sure there was many doubts in her mind. She probably thought, well, how would this carpenter ever help me when I'd gone to so many so-called doctors and they've only made me worse? How could this man really help me? Is it worth the effort of pushing through all these people just to touch him? We can imagine what she would be thinking. Jesus is going with this important man, Jairus. And he's going to heal his daughter. He wants to go to his house. I better not disturb him. Who am I? Who am I that he will deal with me? There are too many people. There are too many around us. I would never be able to reach him. Maybe another day. Maybe another time. I'll try and look for him whenever he's on his own. Is that what you thought could have been? What would you think? Would you have that drive to go through and work your way through that crowd to actually touch Christ? We don't know what she was thinking, but one thing we know is that she had faith. She believed. It may not have been a great faith. It may have been a fearful faith, and maybe even a superstitious faith. But she had heard what Jesus did to others and believed he could do the same for her. She was desperate. She was determined to touch him. And how many there are who have deadly diseases, and yet don't see the need of Christ. Don't see the need to come to him for mercy. You know, sin is an awful disease. It's mortal. Not only that, it could damn a soul in hell for all eternity. It is the most deadly of diseases, and each one of us have been contaminated. Each one of us are sinners. We're even born sinners. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And how many think that they are morally good, that they're okay? They don't realize that they have got this awful disease, that the disease will take them to hell if they go on the way they are going. Yes, some even mock others who believe in him. They think that it's all a lie. It's all a fable. They don't realize their sinful state and the holy God in whom they will have to stand before one day and give an account. It is only when one realizes their true and dangerous state that they will really seek the Lord and touch him and go home in peace. Notice thirdly how quickly the woman was cured. As soon as she touched his garment, she was healed. After 12 years of misery, finally she was totally healed. In a moment, it tells us there in verse 29, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed all that plague. What tremendous joy, what tremendous relief, what tremendous peace came into her heart in that moment. She knew within herself that she was healed. She didn't need to go to a doctor for another analysis. She knew that God had done that work in her life. And no doubt this is like the spiritual story of many. We're burdened with our sin. Many have tried other religions. Many have tried other philosophies. False cults. They have gone from one thing to another looking for that inner peace. And how many have tried to help them with self-help books and all sorts of things. And yet, and all, they still do not get that peace. That peace only comes when Christ steps in. When Christ steps into their life, immediately they find that peace and joy in his great salvation, because he is the Savior. And he can transform the soul. But fourthly, this woman spent all her money hoping for a cure, which left her completely bankrupt, while Christ cured her completely and freely. Without money and without price, she received freely, without money, what, something that money couldn't buy. Something that was absolutely priceless. But what does the Bible say? Come by without money and without price. For many, this is too easy. They just can't take it in. Many says you have to do something. There has to be something else that you have to do. Surely you have to do something. For many, it's just too easy and they just can't believe it. But they don't realize that the payment is death. That's what the payment is. The wages of sin is death. And praise God, Christ died in our place. Christ paid the price of our debt. God, praise God, accepted what he paid. The price of blood. He shed his blood to cleanse us from all our sin. That's a high price. Some think, you have to do something. How many think that? I remember of a preacher going down a mine one time, and he preached to those men in the morning in the mine. And the engineer that brought him down, he was taking him back out again, and he said, well, what did you think of the sermon? Well, he says, I don't believe it. It's just too easy. And what do you mean? Well, it's just, there has to be something more than that. You just can't believe and be saved. And so the minister didn't know what to say, but he was just quiet for a while. And then as they were walking along the mine shaft, they reached the lift. And they said, well, how are we getting out of here? Well, we have to take this lift. And how deep are we down here? He says, you're about 600 feet. Well, he says, it must have cost a lot of money to put this lift in. Oh, honey. Took a long time of digging. But it doesn't cost us much to get out of here, does it? You press a button and up we go. But it costs a lot to put that mine shaft in. And that is just like Christ. Christ paid the price. His work was an awful work. He had to do an awful work for us. But praise God, that work was accepted by God. And now we have to believe and receive. Now we have to get into that mine shaft if we want to get out of our sin. We have to get in. We have to close the door. And praise God, we will rise to the surface. That is the only way, friends, that you're going to get into heaven. Is get into Christ. He is the way, the only way out of your sin. He is the only way out of your state, your lost estate. He is the only way that you're going to be saved. He is the only way that you're going to get to glory. And he said, I am the way. Not one way among a thousand others. No, he is the way. There is no other way. He is the only way. He is the Savior. There's no other that can save us like Christ. He is the only one. But you know, fifthly, we see that Christ wants us to confess him before men. This woman, she wanted just to slip away in the crowd and let what was done be in her a hidden work from everyone else. She would be embarrassed to speak in front of everybody else. But Jesus wouldn't hear of it. Why? He wanted her to confess for her own good. He wanted to be more than just a supernatural doctor to her. He wanted to be her Savior and her God. When he was finished with her, she went home with his blessing in peace. She had no need to be ashamed, no. She could rejoice and tell her story to everyone. A story that has been a blessing to thousands, yea, millions since that day. Romans 10 and 9 tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You have to confess. You cannot be ashamed of Christ. Friend, this is the power of her testimony. That's why Christ left that old demoniac there in his town. He says, go home to your friend and to your family and tell them what wondrous things the Lord has done for you. And that's what Christ wanted this woman to do, to tell out loud. And she says there, she told the whole truth. She came out with the whole story. She was able to tell how she was sick 12 years. But in an instant, just to touch his garment was enough to heal her. What a wonderful story. That judge showed the power of the Savior. Christ knew that virtue had gone out of him. He knew that something had happened. Of course, he knows everything. He didn't have to ask the question. But he wanted that woman to testify. He wanted that woman to truly testify of the glory, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want her to go away as if nothing. No, he wanted us to testify. And friends, we need to testify. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to tell someone what the Lord has done in our life. How many can testify of all sorts of wonderful things? They can talk about their holidays and what a wonderful time they had. They can talk about some experience that they had and how everything went so well or even bad. And yet at all, we can open our hearts and tell people about things that have no consequence at all. And yet at all, this that is the most important thing that has ever happened to our lives is that we met Christ and Christ came into our hearts and transformed us. And God has adopted us into his family. He has changed our very likes and dislikes. Our whole being has been transformed. And yet in all, we can keep our mouths closed as if nothing. But Christ doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to confess what Jesus has done. He wants us to glorify his name. How many football fans are ashamed to talk about their idols? How many? Not one. Oh, they'll talk about them and they'll have their shirt on and they'll have their name across the back and they're just promoting this idol of theirs. And yet in all, how many of us are ashamed of the name of Jesus? We hold our peace. Friend, this is a day of good tidings. It's not a day whenever we should hold our peace. It's a day whenever we need to proclaim the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to transform a soul. If he's transformed you, friend, you need to tell it. You need to tell those that are outside of Christ because they're going to a hell that will never end. A hell where there'll be no hope for them. There's no lift out of hell. They're there forever in a lake of fire. There's no way out. Jesus Christ is the only way that they will escape. And they have to come to him now while it is they are living. There's nothing after death. After death, the judgment. Where the tree falleth, there it'll lie. It's too late. We only have this time now to repent of our sin and to turn to Christ. Lastly, we see that she had no reason to fear in Jesus. She had no reason to fear Jesus. It tells us there in the verse 33 and 34, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Jesus is so cross with us that we have to go to him through his mother. That he will not accept us. He'll not give us a hearing ear. He'll not open the door to us, that we have to go through Mary. That is why we have to pray in her name. We have to go through his mother. This might sound logical because we are vile sinners. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that we don't deserve any hearing from the Lord because we're vile and sinful. But what did Jesus say? He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He has that in writing in the Word of God. And friends, we can believe it. God never lies. It is written down here in black and white. And therefore we can take the Lord at this promise, at the value that it is. There it is, it's written down. He that cometh unto me, praise God, he will not cast out. He will not cast out. And whosoever and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He is more than willing to give us eternal life. He is more than willing to save us. He is more than willing to cleanse us from our sin. He is more than willing to apply the precious blood that is powerful to cleanse us from every sin and stain. Christ promises to give us what we ask for. We have no merits but Christ. And I would say to you, sinner, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, repent. Turn to Him. Reach out your hand to Him even now. Come to Christ even this evening. Praise God, He can save. And He will save. He is a wonderful Savior. There's many here who can testify to that fact. The Lord has come into our lives. He has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We would never go back to the old ways. He has transformed us. He's given us new life, abundant life, and praise God, eternal life. Will you not come? Will you not accept Him? Look what He has done for you. Look what He did. He went to Calvary. So we saw this morning what awful pains He went through to pay the price of our sin. And yet in all, He offers salvation freely to anyone who would come to Him, even this evening. I would say to you, do not go home without Christ, because He is the only way that you can escape eternal flames of hell. Come to Him even tonight, and praise God, He is willing to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. May the Lord richly bless you.